In just moments, a visit with one of my favorite guests, Father Bill Nicholas. We're not going to talk about anything religious. We're not going to talk about anything social. We're actually going to talk about the Constitution and one provision I mentioned earlier. Stick around. Brett Winterble Show, AM 760, talking breaking news. This is Brett Winterble Show, AM 760, talking breaking news. Happy to welcome back to the show a very, very good friend of mine. He is Father Bill Nicholas from the L.A. Archdiocese, and he joins us here once again. Hello, Father Bill. How are you?
Doing good, Brett. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you as well. Now, last time we talked about the Martin Luther and the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation and all that
Halloween.
Sort of stuff. Halloween. We talked about Halloween. We've talked about the historical roots of freedom of religion and all that great stuff. One thing we've never talked about, and I'm glad we're going to talk about it now, because I'm sure Mark Levin will be talking about it in the next hour when he comes on, and that is this idea that the way we got the Senate rigged is all wrong, because if we didn't have the 17th Amendment, we'd have a wholly different approach towards federal government, wouldn't we, Father?
It would. It would be very different. And especially, I'm hoping this discussion is brought up, especially with what we're seeing in Alabama. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get into whether I think Judge Moore is innocent or guilty or what the situation. That's for the voters of Alabama and the state of Alabama to decide. But when you're looking at the circus that is a result of these allegations against him, and then you look at what the Founding Fathers had initially intended before the 17th Amendment was passed and ratified in I believe it was 1913, 1914. So it hasn't been around that long, just a little over 100 years. But for 124 years, the first 124 years, the Founding Fathers had a different plan. That was the way in which senators were selected. And the Constitution, Article 1, Section 3, actually reads, the Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state chosen by the legislature thereof. It was not a popular vote from the very beginning of the country. And that's how the Founding Fathers set it up. It wasn't until the 17th Amendment was passed, just a little over 100 years. So we haven't had this system longer than the Founding Fathers system. But for the last about 102 years, thanks to the 17th Amendment, it's been a popular vote that has elected the senators. And there are reasons for and against it and so on. But actually, it was actually discussed among the Founding Fathers, and only one of the convention delegates for the initial constitutional convention favored popular elections for senators. The rest of them in committee and in the general vote of the fathers of the Constitution voted that the state legislatures would select the senators. So is that democracy? It is, but it's a filtered democracy to a certain sense. The House of Representatives is elected directly by the people, but it's in much smaller districts within the state, except for the states that only have one representative at large. But the senators were intended to represent not the people, but the state governments, to protect the interests of the individual states in the midst of this large federal government, which they didn't want to become too bloated and overpowering the autonomy and integrity of the state governments. And the senators were there to protect that for each state, which is why the legislatures chose the senators. Now, granted, the people of the state chose the legislatures,
right?
But it was the legislatures that chose the Senate. So it was a filtered form of choosing. Just like we, the people, vote and we choose electors who
right.
choose the president, we, the people, choose the legislatures who choose the senators. But thanks to the 17th Amendment, it's the people who choose, and it opens up the kind of circus on occasion that we see going on in Alabama right now.
You know what's interesting? I was visiting with Roger Hedgecock. We do our 5 at 5 at the top of the 5 o'clock hour,
mm-hmm.
and he used the argument. I thought it was spot on. You've taken what should have been by design a bicameral system, and it's now unicameral because everybody's
right.
just elected.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you look at some of the senators we've had over time, and the history that they've, would there have been a Senator Hillary Clinton from New York? She who was just from Arkansas, and then from Arkansas became First Lady, and then after her husband's two terms, they settled in New York, and within 2 years she was a senator, voted by the people from New York to be a senator in the United States Senate. Now, had she had to go through the legislature of New York,
right.
would we have seen a Senator Clinton? Maybe, maybe not. Would we see a Senator Al Franken, who basically went from his career as a comedian straight to the Senate? Maybe, maybe not. I would think the most likely we probably would have seen a Senator Obama, because at least he was familiar to the state government in Illinois. He was an assemblyman. having been in government there. But it would have been a completely different makeup of the Senate today if it was chosen by the legislatures as the Founding Fathers had intended. And an interesting point, hopefully people are very familiar with the historical phenomenon of the Lincoln-Douglas debates prior to the Civil War on the question of popular sovereignty and slavery in the states. They campaigned in Illinois, but when it came to the election, not a single citizen of Illinois voted for either Abraham Lincoln or Stephen Douglas. They were campaigning for their legislatures. And in the end, Illinois voted, and the Democratic Party maintained power in the Illinois State House, and they appointed Stephen Douglas rather than Lincoln because he was a Republican. So we think of the Lincoln-Douglas debates and that senatorial campaign, but in the end, no one really voted for either candidate. They voted for their legislature, and the legislature, Democrat, put Stephen Douglas in the Senate for Illinois.
What is interesting is we know, we go back to the Federalist Papers, right? And we know there were these warnings and exhortations against factions, right? Factions were going to be a problem. You wanted to avoid factions. Well, we do have two parties, but what you do really have are factions now. I mean, factions are what actually control the legislating process rather than any kind of an order, a good order or anything like that. It's about who's trying to get up and over on each other.
Oh, and it's true. And the Senate really was supposed to be more of a more deliberative body of legislators. The the entire House of Representatives is voted every 2 years. They really have got to have their fingers on the pulse of the people, and they are popularly elected, but not statewide, but by individual districts. You don't vote for the congressman from San Francisco, even though we're all Californians. It's just the district up there. They'll vote for or against Nancy Pelosi, who's the representative there. And in the same way, the popular vote is done by, at least for the Congress, is done by districts, but the Senate was to be the representative of the state governments. And in effect, one could really say that if there was any branch of government that was designed for career politicians, it was the Senate.
What's interesting is, and we were talking earlier, I did misspeak then. So there are 32 Republican-controlled legislatures right now. So what that would translate to roughly is you would have 60, because two per state, you would have 64, I said 68, but it would be 64, is that right? Yeah, 64, Republican senators. You would have a filibuster-proof majority
unless at the time the Republicans took the state houses, there was already a Democrat midterm.
For sure. Very, very good point. But in an original model, so we would be traveling, say, through time in an original model. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right, because it does assume it would always be that way. But in a best-case scenario, you'd have 64, which would be filibuster-proof by pretty much any way you slice that. You would not have to worry about that 50-51 number that they have to get over, the magical 50. You'd almost be within eyeshot of ratifying amendments to the Constitution. I mean, you are in a whole other atmosphere of air here. It is curious to see, and I know you are, because we were talking about this, you're a big fan of the approach of what Mark Levin has articulated in this regard and the arguments that he has made.
Oh, yes.
because he's talking about getting back to the original core principles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I was telling you, just studying this like I do, I was already thinking in favor of, I believe the 17th Amendment needs to be rescinded, and we need to get back to the legislatures choosing our senators. And then Mark Levin, in his book, The Liberty Amendments, I believe it's like Chapter 3 or 4, he proposes repealing of the 17th Amendment and getting back to the original intent of the Founding Fathers, where the people's representatives are in the House of Representatives and the state representatives are in the Senate.
It would certainly make for some accountability should a senator suddenly get involved in something he shouldn't be involved in, and we'll leave it at
that. And when it comes to campaigns and the kind of things that can come out, especially these days in a campaign, for something that is a statewide campaign with regard to the federal government, you wouldn't see the people being put in the position that they are in Alabama as a result of what's being said about Judge Roy Moore. It would be a much more sobering process in which the state-established government makes those determinations. And if they don't look out for the interests of the state, then the legislature doesn't renew their term after the 6 years are up.
Great stuff, Father Bill Nicholas. We appreciate you coming by and having the conversation about the 17th Amendment to the Constitution. And
good stuff.
Wish you a very, very happy and blessed Thanksgiving, and we look forward to visiting with you on the other side.
Same here. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. It's Father Bill Nicholas.